Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri-Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with our Friday web special opening commodity market report. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. Kansas City March wheat opened at 384.5, up 1.75 on the open. July, 381.5, up 1. March wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade opened at 334, up 0.75 on the open. May, 345, up 1. July, 353 unchanged. September, 362 unchanged. December, 374 up a quarter on the open. March corn opened at 212.5, down a quarter on the open. May, 222 down a quarter. July, 230.25, down a quarter. September, 238.25, up a quarter. December, 247.5, down a half. March, 255 down a quarter on the open. March oats open at 189.25, up 0.75 on the open. May, 184, up 0.75. January soybeans opened at 564, up 2 on the open. March, 570 down 2. May, 579.5 down 2. July, 588 down 2.25. November, 599 down 1.25 on the open. January soybean meal opened at 179, up 20 on the open. March, 179 unchanged. March soybean oil opened at 2170, up 1. Over at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, January feeder cattle opened at 112.85, down 2.5 on the open. March, 112.10 unchanged. April, 112.40 down 20 on the open. February live cattle opened at 95.20, up 12.5 on the open. April, 94 up 5. February lean hogs open at 59.77.5, unchanged on the open. April, 65 down 37.5. May, 67.95 down 12.5. June, 70.45 down 50. And February pork bellies open at 84.80, unchanged on the open.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bazdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzalo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Once the report is out of the way, and it probably already is in traders' minds, how much leftover lingering impact will it have for hedgers for the next 30 days or so?
Well, quite a bit, we think. You know, the market report that we just got, you know, what we did last week and maybe even a little bit before that is we kind of took our eyes off of the funds and the potential of index funds coming in and buying because we knew there was a new fundamental report coming out by USDA, and it was a January report, which we, you know, typically are expecting quite a few changes, and we'll get our first look at wheat. So fundamentals took center stage. Funds went to the back burner. At that point, though, once we see the fundamentals known and out, it's going to be an issue of where the new crop beans and new crop corn end up heading in terms of this big carryover, this big carryover increase in domestic beans on the heels of a cut in exports, which the market typically, and we don't either, like a cut in demand anytime on a USDA report. So will the November beans fall down and naturally bring corn acres up? That's the big discussion now, we think, that there will be in Chicago, Dave. So that still needs to play itself out, and that's probably red hot the next 30 days, as are the outside markets and bringing the index funds back to the front burner. What's happening with those folks? And, you know, right now, for instance, PPI numbers came out 0.9% bigger and higher, much bigger than the trade expected. Gold is making new highs right now, up $7.20 an ounce in February. Crude oil's got another look of upside potential on the Iranians and a lot of politics going on right now.
How much fear does the index funds at this point put into the legs of traders?
A lot, and probably more importantly, and I can't measure that. It's very difficult to measure, except that the vast majority of the money of those typically long-only index funds come in with such large amounts of money. But what they also do is they keep the commodity trading funds, the guys that like to go short after a report like this or after a 50-day moving average violation like we've seen in November beans, keeps them from piling on short positions and taking that commitment to traders to a very big net short position.
Does that mean that, for example, then for soybeans in the March contract, we're pretty much range-bound, would you say, between, say, $6 and $6.50 pending other fundamentals?
Yeah, exactly, and I think that's where producers really need to back away from the old crop. And we've still got South American volatility and weather. We've got index fund issues. We've got rust issues. We've got a lot of issues in the old crop, and we've got pretty decent demand. Yes, U.S. exports are down, but overall Chinese demand's good, and our domestic demand's really, really good. So our mindset would be, let's concentrate on new crop. We are right now at 601 November beans. Last year on this identical week, we were down around 530, Dave. So we're talking about 70 cents of premium in the new crop beans with double the carryover that we had last year at this time. Let's work on that. Let's use that as our marketing plan for now and let the old crop take care of itself and go ahead and see where things shake out. Because one thing we feel strongly about at this point after the report in this 100 million bushel increase on this demand cut in the domestic numbers is the fact that it's going to be very hard for November beans to test that July contract high of last year's 660 area without a lot happening in the old crop. So kind of divorce yourself from the near term, we would say. Think of it as a range-bound trade like you're talking about, and let's work more and more aggressively on the new crop, getting hedges and profit locked in case we do find November beans slip, and they do bring new crop corn acres up by the fact that they do slip. So
let's look at the corn then and ask you a similar question. Old crop, are we range-bound between $2 and $2.20?
Yeah, we think so. I mean, the bottom line was the report was pretty neutral in our minds domestically. We actually like the fact that USDA came in with a yield reduction, albeit they offset that with a higher harvested acreage number, so it didn't change anything materially. But it does send a signal that what you've got is what you're going to have to deal with. You're not going to get many more supply increases from us on this 05 crop, everybody out there in the trade. So a lot of this trading is now in the past tense, and the need to go lower is not as paramount or needed as maybe one would have thought a week ago when people were talking 2.5 carryover and maybe even bigger. So it puts us in a range-bound mindset in corn. But, again, it goes back to the new crop has a completely set of different set of fundamentals it's working from, because it's so closely attached to the beans. And, the other thing we have to talk about with corn is it puts wheat back in the driver's seat for the corn to be able to go higher. The wheat really needs to lead us higher again because the numbers were friendly in terms of acreage. Winter wheat acreage, in our opinions, were friendly on the corn side, not just from a standpoint of less hard red winter wheat acres, but that 18-19% jump in soft red winter wheat acres. That means less corn acres, and that put that new crop corn looking a little bit better than before the report.
Well, let's talk about that. Kansas City, we sure did have a nice little rally yesterday off of the report. Do you think that it gets above its double top at 375? And if so, does that pull corn up?
We kind of look at the Kansas City wheat like we do the index funds. If that's going to happen, that scenario of taking that double top out and putting a 4 in front of Kansas City wheat futures prices is going to happen, Dave. It's going to happen in the near term. And the market's not going to wait for, 4, 5, 6 weeks down the road, that they're going to go ahead and test that now, because it probably will need to be fund-induced and fundamentally induced, and those seem to be coming together to an apex right here, right now. There are people in Chicago. Talked to one good trader I know up in Chicago yesterday afternoon. There are a lot of people starting to talk about a 4 in front of Kansas City wheat, a continuation of spreading off, full spreading the Kansas City against the Chicago, and playing the wheat market that way.
How far can those spreads widen then between Chicago and Kansas City in your estimation?
So pretty much as far as they want. I mean, you get way out of whack when you go over a dollar and a half. But you can't put a number on wheat. That's one of the things that we've forgotten probably in the last 7 years since the deflationary cycle ended, is that wheat can pretty much do whatever it wants. And volatility, some of the worst volatility and best volatility I've ever personally experienced in the markets has not been in beans. It's been in the wheat complex.
So let's go back to the corn pit then. December now, 248 and a quarter, and that's up a quarter. If you haven't done anything yet, I suppose that's probably as good a place to start as any.
We're going to hold off for 255 to 260 and have standing orders there, Dave, but we are going to be very watchful and very mindful of, number one, the November beans, and not breaking below yesterday's low on a closing basis today. Number two, we want to watch that 50-day moving average in the corn. That these corns really set itself up nicely here in the short term for the technicals. 10-day moving average is resistance, just under 249. 50-day moving average is support at 244. That's how we're probably going to market for the next 3 weeks, based upon whether we need to do a quick sale on a break of that 50-day moving average.
Before I let you go, give us your analysis of what's going on over at the Merck in live cattle and fed cattle. I thought it was dead and done earlier this week, and yesterday it surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, we're wondering whether they just didn't pick up on the corn weakness early on, and then the corn came back, and we wonder if the cattle weren't trading more the fundamentals of the grains than they were of their own. But essentially what the cattle have done is lost their fund longs, and the liquidation took place, you know, really put a spike down there a few days back. Now we're waiting for some new fundamentals. The packers seem more hard-nosed on hogs than they do on cattle, based upon some of the personal conversations we've had with our livestock hedgers.
The cash really been hammered on the hogs this week.
It has. A cash discount. This is where producers and market analysts like us need to really, really look and evaluate this market, because cash discount finally played the stronger suit and funds buckled. And that's a pretty interesting phenomenon. And it goes back to how the funds work and the fact that hogs are cash index settled off the futures and the cash, you know, and they both come together on expiration. Options expire at the exact same time as futures. So the mechanics of hog trading in particular is much more conducive to the fundamentals winning out in the end than the funds winning out in the end. And so at this point, we'd expect $40 cash to hold, and we're only about a dollar or two from that right now.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Have a great day, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for his crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.